ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. Turn your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is able to speak to us as we read it. How many times have you found yourself going to God's Word for help? I've tried everything else, huh? Why is that? We try everything else. I guess that's the human thing to do, to try everything else. And then when you finally find out that everything you've tried doesn't work, then go to the Lord. Why didn't you do that first time? But we humans get it turned around. We want to try to fix it ourselves, don't we? It's pride. We want to fix it ourselves. It's a man thing, maybe, huh? Let me see what's the matter with it. After the family's fiddled and played with it and can't figure out what it is, and the husband says, well, let me see it. And if you see him throw it in the trash, he can't fix it either. But we have a Heavenly Father. And I picture as a child goes to his daddy, daddy fix, daddy fix. That's what we should be doing with our heavenly fat daddy. Daddy fix, you need fixed, daddy fix. Daddy's waiting to fix and he loves to fix. And he's just waiting for you to ask. He wants to help you. He wants to fix it for you. Would you ask him? Because he's waiting for you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Zacharias is just kind of a short version of Zechariah. Actually, his name is Zechariah. He was of the course of Abia. Now, that's significant. There were some 24 families that represented the priesthood. Started with Aaron. Aaron was the first priest. And there were some 24 families up until the time of the Babylonian exile. When the 24 families of priests went into exile, only six of them returned. And then from there, they grew and grew till there were thousands of priests. There were different groups. They were put into groups, as this scripture calls, a course. It was actually a daily service that a group of priests would help. Their particular group was involved, and they would do different things in the temple for a week. They were assigned to the temple for a week of duties. The Jewish week was from Sabbath to Sabbath. From Saturday to Saturday, it was 8 days. Unlike our 7-day week, it was an 8-day week. And he was of the course of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. So you see that these two had good lineage, good righteous lineage. In fact, that's what we're told then in the next verse. They were both righteous before God. They were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. What does that mean? Blameless. We always thought Jesus was the only one blameless. No, that means that they were about as spiritually mature as you could get. Which they still made a few mistakes, but this was just speaking of their spirituality. They were spiritually mature. They were mature. They were older, and they have well stricken in years. Not just older, they're well stricken in years, the scripture says. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, when we just read it that way, we think his lot or his job was to do that. Well, actually, the lot was cast, much like we would roll the dice. In our day, we'd shake the dice or draw straws. In those days, would use stones, a white stone and a black stone, or animal bones. There were all different kinds of things they would use. They would mark them. And in David's time, David did the drawing. He drew and actually cast the lots. At this particular time, we think the priests probably did their own drawing. They would shake the stones up in a box or whatever, and then the priest would draw. And Zechariah drew, and it was his job to burn incense in the temple. Now, there were so many priests there at that time that when you were in charge that week to do your duties in the temple, it would probably be the only week perhaps in your life that you would have to work in the temple. That's how many priests there were. And that's how sacred it was. When the lot was cast for Zechariah to burn incense, that was a high position, highly respected, and probably never had the chance to do that again. That's how special it was. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without, means outside the temple, at the time of the incense. Now, if they were all praying, it was probably a Sabbath day or a holy day, some kind of a special day that they were praying, probably a Sabbath day. Let's go on further. Verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, when I see right side, I say, well, what's the significance of the right side? What sure beats standing on the wrong side? Huh? Now, this is the temple. The altar of incense is made of gold. The altar of incense is located immediately in front of the veil, that embroidered, thick, rug-like material that was woven, that oxen pulling in different directions couldn't tear it. But when Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, that veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Notice it was rent from top to bottom. It was God's doing. He divided that and tore that veil so there could be now access to the Holy of Holies. So the altar of incense was located immediately in front of that veil, that heavy woven curtain. And then to the right was a table of shewbread. And it was there where the angel stood between the altar of incense and the table of shewbread. And then what was on the left was the candlestick. That was on the left side. So the angel appeared on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now it's interesting. I'm sure Zacharias prayed about a lot of different things, but the angel mentioned this particular prayer in special attention. I heard thy prayer. Thy wife Elizabeth shall conceive. You see, it was a reproach. When a woman couldn't bear a child, it was a reproach. There must be sin in your life. That's why God's not blessing you with a child. You see, in those days, it was a considerable blessing to have children because there could be chance the Messiah could be born of that lineage or that family. So it was always a blessing to have children. And when a woman couldn't, it was a reproach. And people thought, well, you just have sin in your life. You just need to repent and get rid of it. So it was a terrible reproach. She lived with this reproach. And we know that her husband lived with the same reproach. And a little bit later on, we'll see if he had some bitterness from it. I don't know. I don't know what the reason for what we'll encounter here, what happened, but we'll get there. We'll get there. All right, look at verse 14. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, it's interesting that those who would take the Nazarite vow were not allowed to drink any strong drink. None. And we see many Nazarites. Samson was a Nazarite. Samuel was a Nazarite. Obviously, John the Baptist was probably also took the Nazarite vow. Along with that, they never cut their hair. That also went along with the Nazarite vow. So you can just imagine what this hairy man looked like. He wasn't to drink any strong drink. He would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when did he get filled? When he was in his mother's womb. That's what it says. Verse 16, many of the children of Israel he turned to the Lord their God. Many of the Israelites will get saved under his ministry. They'll come to be saved, be born again through his ministry. Isn't that interesting? He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. John will go before him, who's meaning the Messiah. He'll do it in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that phrase, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, what would be necessary for that? Well, in those days, there was a lot of division, as it is in our day. We have a lot of division. What do you mean by division? Well, families are divided about all kinds of things. And in that day, in Zechariah's day, families were divided with all kinds of different religious sects. There was the Roman faction, which they were Herodians. Then there was the Zealots. Then there was the Pharisees. Then there was the Sadducees. Can you imagine that having 9 or 10 children, and some of them were Pharisees, some were Sadducees, and some were Zealots? Could you imagine when they got together for a meal, a Thanksgiving meal, huh? Well, it'd be a little bit like it happens in our homes. We have the Democrats and the Republicans all sitting at the same table. Well, you can imagine, it's brought division. And it's no different today. Today it's the same, isn't it? We have a lot of divisions. Our families are divided. They're divided over many things. Many things. In some families, you can have a tree hugger. In the same family, you can have an arbor assassin. I just seen that recently. That's a fellow that cuts trees. Did you know that? All right. But in a family, you can have these divisions. You can have these divisions, can you imagine? And this is what the problem was. And John the Baptist was going to preach a message. We need unity. Don't we need unity today? Yes, we do. We need unity. Not only in our families, but we need it everywhere. We need unity. And that message was going to come from John the Baptist. He's going to turn the fathers to the children and make ready a people prepared for the Messiah. For the Lord. Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Now, there was something here that really bothered the angel. As we'll go on here a little further, we'll see why. And the angel answered and said unto him, verse 19, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of the Almighty, of the Eternal of God. I stand in his presence. And you're questioning me? Basically is what the angel is saying. You're questioning me? That's not good. That's not a good thing to do. We'll see. Let's look at verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. And why is that? Why is he going to be struck dumb? Look at the next words. Because thou what? Believest not my words. How would you like to be struck dumb whenever you don't believe God's word? Ooh, won't be too many talking, would there? I, for one, wouldn't be talking. Because there's times I doubted his words. It's a serious matter. More serious, folks, than we ever think about. Unbelief is an enemy of faith. Thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak. For 9 months, you would be that way. 9 months. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit, so you'll have a chance to work at each month, one of those fruits. Huh. That's just something I thought about. 9 months. 9 months. Let's go on further. The people waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. You see, whenever they went in and did these things, it didn't take them long, and they were right out. This was unusual. Zachariah was spending more time there than he should be. People didn't know if maybe he died. Maybe he's struck by God. They wondered, they marveled why it was taking so long. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and he remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Now, what was that about? Why did she hide herself for 5 months? Well, I've read a couple commentaries of what they think. They just think that she just needed to have time to ponder the things that were spoken about her boy. He didn't have no strong drink. He didn't have anything of the vine or the grape. And she just concerned about raising him the right way, raising him the way God wants him to be raised. She had a lot of things to ponder and think about, like Mary. A lot of things to think about. And so she had 5 months to consider these things, you know, and she didn't have her husband to talk to because he couldn't talk. Can you imagine? The whole 9 months of her pregnancy, her husband couldn't say a word. Couldn't say a word. Verse 25. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. See that? And then it goes on, verse 26, the 6 month. That just adds another month to her pregnancy. Okay. Now we're going to go a little further in the chapter. This chapter has 80 verses. Going now a little bit further into the chapter. We're going to pick up somewhere around verse 59. Still with me? Verse 59. It came to pass that on the 8th day, that was when they circumcised the boy. And you know, this was, they actually had like a party. This was much like a baptismal. This was when you invited the relatives. You invited all the relatives to this. And they all came. And it was also the time of the naming of the child. He was named the very day that he was circumcised. That was when he was named. And we'll see that here. It came to pass on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias, after the name of his father. His mother answered and said, "No, not so, but he shall be called John." Now that's just the family, the relatives. Relatives, you can tell the family's talking here. Verse 61, they said unto her, "There's none of thy kindred that's called by this name." You know, this is when Aunt Elizabeth tells you, or Aunt Sarah tells you, that there ain't nobody called by that name in our family. Why did you pick such a name? That's what's going on here. This is what's going on. Ain't nobody in our family named like that. Now look at verse 62. This is interesting. I caught something here I never seen before. All 60 some years old, and this is the first time I realized this. This was brand new to me. Look at verse 62. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Why did they do that? He couldn't talk. Well, he couldn't hear either. Did you just catch that? I did. That was the first time I caught that. All the years I read that. Not only could he not speak, he couldn't hear. They had to make sign language. What's that mean? Tasty cake time, break time. Okay, so they had to make signs. They had to make signs. He couldn't hear. I never seen that before. Wow. So he asked for a writing table, which in those days it was just a piece of wood, and they would melt wax over it. Then they'd use an iron stylus to write on it. Isn't that neat? It just melted wax over a piece of wood, and then they would write in the wax with the steel. So that's what they gave him. They gave him a tablet, and he wrote, "His name shall be John." That's what Elizabeth said. But now the father is saying that. His name shall be John. And they marveled, all of them. And as soon as he was able to write that down, look at verse 64. His mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. Whew, 9 months. Can you imagine? How would you like to have your mouth taped shut for 9 months? And then you couldn't hear anything. Just found that out. Whew. How many, is that the first time you ever heard that too? It was for me. I didn't know that he couldn't hear anything. But that's what this verse says. It's as clear as a bell. Wow. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to prophesy, saying, and this is his song. Now we're in Zacharias' song. He began under the anointing of the Holy Ghost to say these things. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Not only had he visited his people, he visited Zacharias and gave him his voice back. Whew. I'm so glad you visited me today. 9 months. It's been a long 9 months. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited and he has redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." The horn of salvation is referring to the Messiah, to Jesus, who's coming to redeem his people. He is referred to as the horn of salvation. As he spake, verse 70, "by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." You know, you could do some work on that word mercy there. That word mercy would take you to God's grace. That would get you close to God's grace. His grace is special. His grace and mercy. Mercy promised to our fathers. Do you know what mercy is? I'll give you an illustration of mercy. You're going down the highway way, way too fast. It's Christmas time. The cop pulls you over. The state office, state police officer pulls you over. He says, where are you going in such a hurry? The speed limit's 55. You were going 75. Do you know how many points that would be? Do you know how much money that would cost you, he's saying? But it's Christmas time. And I want you to promise me you're going to slow up. This is a warning. He just gave you mercy. You deserved a ticket. You deserved a fine. But he gave you mercy. Do you know that God does that with us every day? He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us mercy and love. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Oh, wouldn't be many of us here today, would there? We've all made a lot of wrong choices in our life. But I'm among many of you who got second chances. And I'm glad. I'm in good company. That we have a God who gives us second chances. Another chance. Verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, but in holiness and righteousness before him some of the days of our life. Everybody say what? All the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Now, Zechariah is talking about his own son. His own son. He's very happy to have. He never had any children. And now he's talking about his own son, John. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. And look at this. This is a prophecy. John is only 8 days old. And this is what his father, through the prophecy of the Holy Spirit, says, that he will give knowledge of salvation to his people by what? The remission of their sins. And you can read it when you get to further back in the Gospels, when John comes out of the desert and God calls him, it's time for him to prepare the way of the Lord. You'll hear that his message is the remission of sins. That's his message. Repent, repent, repent. You see, John had to come and prepare Israel for repentance. You see, they were under the bondage of Rome, and they were so destined to think that this deliverer, this Messiah, would take them from the way of the bondage of Rome. They were looking for an earthly king, but Jesus was a heavenly king, and John was preparing a way for this heavenly king, this spiritual king, is why John had to prepare the way, because the people were looking for a physical king so they could get out from under the Roman bond of oppression. But John came to prepare the way for this spiritual king through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, to give to light to them that sit in darkness. You know, I wonder if Zechariah really thought about that passage. I wonder if that passage isn't referring to the Gentiles, the day when the Jews would reject Jesus and then the gospel light would go to the Gentiles, which are us. Thank the Lord that God saw fit for the light to go to the Gentiles, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts to the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist. It said he grew and waxed strong and was in the deserts till the day of his showing. You realize Zechariah and Elizabeth was very old when they had John. So you know they didn't live too much longer after the birth of John. We don't know exactly how much longer God left them live, but we know it was a short duration. And John basically had to be raised by himself like an orphan in the desert. It said he lived on locusts and wild honey. Isn't that what the scripture says? And what was his clothes? Wasn't bon ton or boscons. He dressed himself in what? Camel skin. And on locusts did exist. But he bore the name John the Baptist. What a man. Of men born of women, Jesus said there was none greater than John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was beheaded. Could have Christ prevented that? Yes. But you remember what John said when Jesus was baptized soon after? What did John say? I must what? I must decrease, that he may increase. It's interesting, the Bible's full of wonderful things. Well, we've come to the end of this chapter. I want you to notice, what does anybody know what the last word is in the Old Testament? The last word. Okay, you can look. The last word in the Old Testament, it would be the book of Malachi. What's curse? The last word is curse. Do you know how many years there's between the Old Testament and the New? 400 years referred to as silence. So the Old Testament ended with a curse. But what the beautiful part is, the New Testament begins with a cure. It begins with a cure. Let's look at the cure together, then we're done. Matthew chapter 1 has the cure. It ends with a curse. Matthew begins with the cure. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ. He is the cure. How do you like that? 400 silent years. We go from the curse to the cure. He is the cure today. For whatever problem you have, he's the cure. He is the cure. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, invite him. Invite him into your heart. Invite him into your heart. It's so important. It's so important. I got to share with you, I had an opportunity to lead a 46-year-old, I think that's how old she is, 46-year-old lady to Christ in the hospital the other day. How beautiful that was. She didn't want anything to do with Jesus or God for 46 years. She was tied fast, and she had a trach, but she understood everything I said. I said, are you ready to accept Jesus in your heart? And I went through the sinner's prayer with her. And halfway through the sinner's prayer, I glanced up at her, and tears was running down her cheeks and dripping on her chest. If you never had an opportunity to lead someone to Christ, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing to introduce them to the cure. There's so many curses and so many things in our world that's wrong. They need to have Jesus. People need the Lord. They need the cure. It's time to go home. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your precious word. And I hope that through this word you have spoke to the hearts of your people. You've helped us to see things we haven't seen and hear things we haven't heard. We thank you so much that you loved us. And you gave us this word. You gave us the Holy Spirit. You gave your life for us. You've done so much for us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's time to go home today. Be with each and every one. Be with them as they travel to their homes. And give them a wonderful and a blessed week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.